four blatant lies about Atlantis and one thing that's totally true. Written and read by Sabine Gordon. Myth. Aliens make them do it. Frequently. In Atlantis, there were two lists of planets that were of paramount importance. The first was a list of probable locations of ZPMs. The contents of this list changed rapidly, cobbled together from information from the database, tips from trading partners, Rodney's hunches, and blind luck. Visiting planets from this list was one of the top priorities of every gate team, and no effort was spared in seeking them out. And then there was the other list. The other list was pulled directly from the ancient database. Its original name varied widely, depending on who was translating it. Dr. Ware referred to it as the places we do not go. Consensus among the linguists was that it was closer to the worlds that are not clean. Rodney read it as the people who do the bad things. John called it the top 10 Pegasus party schools, but then he didn't read ancient, so his interpretation didn't really count. The contents of the other list had only ever been updated twice. Once in their first year, they'd gone to one of the places on it. The list was just that. There was no accompanying text other than the title explaining what was wrong with these planets. They weren't Wraith outposts, and map reading showed that the three they picked at random had breathable atmospheres. What was so bad about going there that the ancients apparently considered it too much to even write about? The people of M4G314 had been surprisingly nice. After several worlds where they'd been shot at on sight, it was almost like a vacation. There is a ceremony we require of our trading partners, the chieftain told them over the feast that was held in their honor. Nothing hard or dangerous, just an expression of mutual trust. Sure, Shepard replied. They'd done all kinds of crazy stuff to get trading partners. Firewalking, moving big rocks around, drinking all manner of alcoholic and or hallucinogenic beverages, even completing something that was suspiciously like a ropes course. We'd be honored to have your trust. The chieftain looked extremely pleased at their willingness to proceed. He directed them to a small tent at the edge of the village, where a group of robed elders were waiting for them. They entered the tent. 4 minutes later, they exited the tent. Everybody in the jumper right goddamn now, Shepard announced, pulling his jacket back on. We are very sorry, but we cannot complete your ceremony, Taylor informed the elders. What's wrong? How have we offended you? The chieftain asked, following them. It's just that, Ford tried. Well, just no. Hell no! McKay couldn't say anything. He was too busy looking terrified and clutching his computer like a teddy bear. After that, a warning was added to the list. Dr. Ware worded it herself, with a diplomat's flair for discretion and double talk. It stayed up for half an hour before McKay, with the assistance of his lab crew, overrode it with urgent warning. Do not go to these planets if you value your ass. Yes, that statement is meant literally. In English, French, ancient, German, Czech, Japanese, and Wraith. The only time the list itself was modified was almost 2 years later. Add MG7467 to the list, Lauren announced when his team stepped through the gate. And somebody get me a drink, he muttered. Is it heavily guarded? Shepard asked, excited. McKay looked as if he might jump up and down and clap his hands. Did you get energy readings? No, Dr. Zelenka replied, giving his team leader a dark look. No, that is not what I got at all. Wrong list, Lauren snapped, blushing and pointedly not looking at Zelenka. Curiously, until they were ravaged by civil war several years later, MG7467 remained one of Atlantis's most favored training partners, a constant source of leather goods and something very like aspirin. Lauren said it was because Zelenka couldn't bear the thought of having gone through their rituals in vain. Zelenka said it was because it was Lauren's favorite planet. Improbably, only one planet ever made it onto both lists at the same time. M3K940, McKay said, stabbing his finger into the display, making a disturbing little ripple on the LCD. We can leave by three if we hurry. I wouldn't ask anyone to risk it, Ware warned finally. But I do have to hope you'll consider it. We'll talk about it, Shepard told her, and she gave him a nod. Right, yes, McKay agreed. We'll get back to you quickly. It was Shepard who decided that it was not a conversation to be had sober. There's no way we can't go, McKay said, opening his third Budweiser. Taylor pushed back from the table, slightly crossing her arms. You may go, but I certainly do not wish to accompany you. Think of the opportunities, he huffed.
We are, Ronan replied.
Possibly not the same ones, however, Taylor added graciously. The scientist snorted in frustration.
I don't see what the problem is.
Come on, McKay, Shepard said, taking a swig from his beer. Would you take it up the ass for CPM?
McKay looked at him suspiciously.
Are you coming on to me?
He blinked.
I don't have a ZPM.
Yes, McKay said emphatically, making wide gestures with his hands. Of course I would. I'd do Colonel Caldwell if I had to, or Kavanaugh, or Biro, or Ronan at the same time for a whole day. It's a zero-point module.
I wouldn't, Ronan said.
Rodney shook his beer bottle at him disapprovingly.
And that is a failing of your character.
You weren't so eager back on M4G314, Shepard reminded him. They didn't have a ZPM either, he scoffed. They didn't even have any coffee. I'm not going to whore myself for lentils and star fruits.
But you'd whore yourself for a ZPM?
Ronan asked. At every last one of you if I had to, he confirmed. I'd hold you down myself if that's what it took.
This is starting to sound less like a mission plan and more like your fantasy, Taylor pointed out.
Rodney turned bright red and gulped his beer.
After many hours of debate, most of the beer from the last Daedalus run, and Shepard's solemn and hilarious vow that he'd protect Ronan's virtue at all costs, they finally gave in.
Still sure you want to do this?
Shepard asked as they stood in front of the gate at 900 hours the next morning. I have an automatic weapon and a vest full of Astroglide, McKay told him. I'm ready for pretty much anything.
If I had a nickel for every time I heard that one, Shepard said, stepping through before McKay could respond.
When they got there, M3K940 was completely abandoned and destroyed, with no sign of a ZPM whatsoever. While no one was looking, McKay cried.